In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. Of course, as our gospel unfolds this morning, it is discovered that this man understands who Jesus is and what it is that Jesus can do for him. And so he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cries out even louder, to the point where the Lord indeed does hear him, calls him over, and asks the simple question, "What is it you want me to do for you?" "I want to see." The Lord grants his request, and of course he rejoices in the power of God, as do all those around him rejoice in what it is that they have witnessed. The power of Christ to heal, to take away our blindness, to give us the strength to truly be able to see. But this physical blindness that Christ removes in this man who is blind is just a foretaste of the spiritual blindness that God desires to remove from all of us, to assist us in rooting out our sinfulness and then living rightly in his sight, moving forward in such a way that the manner in which we live our lives can be a proclamation of the power of God. Not only look at what God does in the life of the blind man, but more importantly, look at what God does in my own life. That always is the greatest triumph, is it not? We are both our greatest champions, but also our greatest critics. We are the ones who stand in the way of any progress that we hope to make, and yet any progress that we make must involve our cooperation. We must do all that we can to allow the grace that God bestows upon us to take root in our lives. And so the church gives us these days leading to Ash Wednesday, these Sundays preceding, to prepare us to then enter into the great retreat that is the Lenten season, to enter into the solitary silence that Lent brings to us. And let's pause for a moment to reflect on that reality. The solitary silence. It is individual. You must undertake your own disciplines. You must carry your own crosses. That this is something that we do as a community is true, insofar then as we move together, we are able to support one another. But I must carry my cross, and you must carry yours. I must enter into my own disciplines and live them well, and you must do the same. What we provide for one another is the strength and the encouragement when I might be tempted to lay aside my burdens, to put down my crosses, to be lazy in my disciplines. But the manner in which you live your life, you will be example. But the manner in which you encourage me, you can be a source of strength. But it is something that you must do, that you must commit yourself to doing. It likewise then opens up this solitariness and opportunity to enter into silence. It is in silence that God truly is able to speak to us. And if you look at the unfolding of salvation history, more often than not, it happens in silence. That face-to-face conversation that God has with his faithful people, Old and New Testament alike. And of course, this greatest silence was that intimate conversation that happened between the angel Gabriel and our Blessed Mother. A conversation about which we know only because she chose to share it reluctantly with us. But her whole life had been a life of silence, a solitary silence in prayer in the temple. So that when the angel Gabriel appeared to her, she would be able to hear what it is that God was asking, what God was commanding. And as the faithful slave and servant, she was able to say immediately, "Yes, I am God's slave. Do with me whatever he wills." And of course, salvation comes to a completion as it comes to its beginning, as we prepare for the God-man who mounts his cross. A solitary silence. Are you prepared for this Lenten journey to be quiet, to be still? Practically, this means some things. First, committing yourself to a daily regimen of prayer. and not skimping on that prayer, that time where you are with God to converse with him. It may also mean concretely you pull back from the world. If you keep a very serious social calendar, maybe you don't go out much, maybe you don't socialize much. Certainly it means turning off your telephones, your televisions, all the forms of mediated communication and putting them to a side. Again, creating solitary silence so God can speak to you. And then in that silence, you can look at God and God can look at you, and you can root out those things that are standing in your way of growing in holiness and allowing the grace of God to transform you. The man born blind begs God, not in desperation, as the Lord himself testifies, but actually in faith. It was a faith born precisely because he could not see the world as men saw it, but saw something deeper and greater. And so that when he who is the greatest appeared in his midst, he knew precisely what it is that he needed to do. No one was able to keep him quiet, to still his voice. There was an honesty and integrity to his calling out to God and asking for mercy. And so, brothers and sisters, it must likewise be the same for each of us. This is particularly true when we approach the throne of mercy in the sacrament of confession. In truth, the confessor does not need a litany of all the things swirling around you, of all the excuses that you come up with in order to give voice to the sins for which you are guilty, all the ways that you excuse yourself from your sins, or you somehow try to dampen them by all the extenuating circumstances. The simple fact is, you are a sinner, and you are guilty of sin, and you are asking God for his mercy. Don't dress it up. Don't make it more than what it is, but certainly don't empty it of its content by blaming everyone else, but not actually taking responsibility for the things for which you are guilty. Kneel down and confess your sins and beg God for his mercy. Will God bestow it upon you? He certainly will. Such is the infinite mercy of God, that profound love that he has, that he continues over and over and over again to forgive us of our sins, most especially in those moments when we don't understand how we need to be forgiven, or we cheapen it by somehow lessening our responsibility in the things for which we are guilty. That type of authenticity, integrity, and honesty can only be achieved in and with God's grace by opening up these days of our Lenten season as an opportunity to sit and be with God. Now, I will be the first to admit not only my failure in doing so. I fill up the beautiful silence that God gives me with so many different voices, oftentimes the voices in my head. Not voices telling me to do evil or bad things, but just simply all of the narratives I create to explain all the mistakes in my life. Rewriting history over and over and over again so that I always remain the hero in any story that I tell, any truth that is actually spoken. And then I go and I ask God to forgive me my sins. And of course, God desires to do so. And grace is bestowed upon me, grace poured out upon grace. But somehow that grace never seems to truly actually take hold of me and actually transform me. It's not from the lack of the power of grace. It's because I'm not properly disposed to receive it. I've put up so many roadblocks, told so many stories, rewritten history so many times that I can't tell up from down, right from left, what is true and untrue. And therefore, I am unable to go to God, throw myself at his feet, and beg for his mercy. That position, that posture of humility and complete and profound trust comes only from someone who knows who he is in humility and knows who God is in power and knows how he should approach the throne of mercy. And this is what our Lenten season provides for us. I normally give the exhortation that we should go to confession once a month. But maybe this Lenten season, it might be good to go every week. to be in the posture of making a good examination of conscience and looking at your sinfulness and truly unrooting what is at the cause of your sins. If they not be mortal sins, then how many venial sins can your soul hold because you fall under the weight of those venial sins? And the church doesn't know. So why have any truck with sin at all? And so maybe go frequently. But as you prepare to go frequently, also prepare yourself to go honestly. Don't worry about everything else that led up to your sins. The fault of your spouse, the blaming of your children, the evilness of your boss, the difficulty of the world. All those things may be true, but you still chose to sin. Your response to all these things that swirled around you was not charity, not grace, not love. It was selfishness. It was more about you than it was about God. It was more about your own needs and comfort than it was the charity to which we are all actually called. And in order to grow in holiness, we must be honest about who we are and also about in whose hands we find ourselves. This God of infinite mercy, but a mercy that he asks us to cooperate with, to call out for, and to seek with honesty. And then in that honesty, in that integrity, armed and empowered by that grace, to allow ourselves to be transformed. To do what? To simply go and live and proclaim the truth. Give glory and praise to God. Not for all the things that God does for you, but simply be God because God is worthy of our praise. In all times, in all situations, in all manner of our lived experiences. I love Lent. This is no secret. I actually make it public that I curtail all of my social interactions precisely so that at least on one level I can put into practice the advice that I'm giving you, knowing that I will fail in so many other ways. But I have seen how God's grace has actually worked despite my cooperation. And now maybe as I grow older and the end is a little bit closer, I'm more excited about what God can do with me if I actually work with him instead of working against him. Think about that. All the blessings God has given you undeservedly. What if you actually cooperated with grace and allowed those blessings to truly come to life in your own life? This need not be a rhetorical question. This might be the Lenten season where God will hear you ask that question and he will answer it for you by a life well lived. And so prepare yourselves with these remaining days. Resolve to enter into your Lenten disciplines with great attentiveness and great zeal. Prepare yourself frequently and often to confess your sins with honesty and truth and integrity. Rely upon the Lord and his infinite mercy and praise him for his bountiful grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.